There'll be light in the sky from the palace on high when I come to the end of the road. Sweet relief from all care will be waiting me there when I come to the end of the road. When the long days end, the journey is o'er, I shall enter that blessed abode. For the Savior I love will be waiting for me when I come to the end. Every long weary mile I'll recount with a smile when I come to the end of the road. And the foes that beset, God will make me forget when I come to the end of the road. When the long day is ended, the journey is o'er, I shall enter that blessed abode. For the Savior I love will be waiting for me when I come to the end of the road. Just a gate open wide and a friend by my side when I come to the end of the road. That is all that I ask as a crown for my task when I come to the end of the road. When the long day is ended, the journey is o'er, I shall enter that blessed abode. For the Savior I love will be waiting for me when I come to the end of the road.
Good evening, everyone. No. I know we're tired. The week is almost there. We're almost at the end of the series. But coming to the end, we should be sad, not glad. And today, even though you may have had some difficulties, and yes, you're tired, you know what can rejuvenate you? The Holy Spirit. Oh, man, I tell you, when you're in the Spirit, you'll be surprised. You can run a mile, you can run a marathon. Tonight, we're going to do another marathon. How many of you are excited to be here at the Covenant series?
Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have been blessed. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And now we get to sum up
a lot of what we've learned this week, and now we get to get or enjoy the juicy stuff. I like to say juicy. We get to enjoy the good stuff. It's all going to come together. We thank you for committing and coming out and being here and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you. But because I want to fulfill my commitment of getting you out here, and there's a lot the Holy Spirit has to say, let's get into it. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you do it again one more time. I ask, dear God, that the Holy Spirit fall down on this place. Illuminate our minds. Touch our hearts. Remove our distractions, our thoughts. Make them like yours. Our ways, let them be like yours. Let us remain outside and let the presence of the Holy Spirit govern us on the inside. Let the Jesus reflect upon the people. Shut out the world right now, Lord God. Let people hear your voice. Tonight is the night. Do it again. Yes, good evening.
Oh. Well, now that I know we don't need this, this evening, the title of the message, Deal or No Deal. Deal or No Deal. We have been anticipating it, and now is the time. Open your books, my brother, to 1 Kings. What book did I say? 1 Kings. We're going into the book of Kings, the records. We're going to switch it up tonight. Chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21 from verse 1. And when you found it, say amen. When you found it, say amen. I will get into it. Follow me in your hearing. And the word of God says, and it what? Came to pass. After these things, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a what? A vineyard. Which was in Jezreel. Hard by the palace. My Bible says hard. I would like to think that it what your version says what? Hard by the palace. I just want to make sure. The preacher's been working without his glasses this week. It says, hard by the palace of what? Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, and saying, give me what? Thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of what? Herbs. Because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a what? A better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord for what? Forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Verse 4 says, and Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will what? Not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Deal or no deal. I am sure, brothers and sisters, you've heard of that game show on the game network. The individual who doesn't like to shake your hands. You know he has a germ phobia. Doesn't like to shake people's hands, but he's the host of a show. Who would have thought? Anyway, the game show Deal or No Deal is often focused around the contestants on the show who would be given an opportunity to turn down a good offer and leave with less than they could have had. At other times, they made a good deal and leave with far more than they are ever expected. But either way, it's always a what? A gamble. Should they take what they have and go on their way? Or should they hold out for more? Should they say deal or no deal? Win or lose, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, deal or no deal is just a game. Any money they win will soon be spent. And any humiliation they might endure over losing everything will soon be forgotten. In our daily lives, we face deal or no deal choices that could affect us for the rest of our lives and for all eternity. The choices you make every day in friends and music, clothing, reading material, internet browsing, text messaging, and etc. may seem trivial, on the surface. Those things could change the course of your life. Your decisions about drugs, alcohol, fornication, and the things of that nature will change your lives in ways you can't begin to imagine. But your spiritual decisions are the most important of all. What did I say? Your spiritual decisions are the most important of all. The question I have for you tonight is, will you receive Jesus? Will you live a holy life? This series has been focused on a relationship with God. That's what a covenant is. And I think you're starting to grasp slowly that anywhere in the Bible you can find that established covenant between God and his people. In our text today, we're introduced to a man, Naboth. He's faced with a deal or no deal situation. Now, I am interested in what Naboth does, because his life has valuable lessons to teach us what to do when we come to a deal or no deal intersection in our lives. In this scripture tonight, there are three things I want you to take. First, as we take a look at the scripture, I want you to remember that Naboth had an obligation. Naboth had an opportunity. But we must also focus on Naboth's obedience. The three O's. Now, in Naboth's obligations, his obligations included his possession. Last night we spoke about being that what? Special possession for God. If you missed it, now you're going to see why we talked about it. Because you have to remember, brothers and sisters, that you are a what? Peculiar people. A peculiar treasure. You are God's priceless possession. You belong to God. No matter what anybody tells you. And whatever God gives you still belongs to God. We'll get there. Naboth had a vineyard. That was his possession. This vineyard had been passed down to him by his fathers. Perpetual. You remember that word? It had been in his family since Israel had been given possession of the promised land. Stay with me. This land had been in his family for generations. It was more than his inheritance. It was his heritage. This week we spoke
about destiny and heritage and how God wants to enrich your heritage.
This vineyard
is not just a piece of land. It was prime real estate. I don't know how many of you are caught up into what's considered good real estate, what's considered bad real estate. I know one thing. I've been told it's better to buy the worst house in the best neighborhood than the best house in the worst neighborhood. Am I right? I think that fundamental key will allow me to make some crucial, prudent decisions. A neighbor had prime real estate.
Somewhere along the way, the king of Israel had built his palace next door. This was the most elite neighborhood in town. Nobody in Samaria had a better possession than Naboth. But do you know, brothers and sisters, that you and I have been given a vineyard as well?
You have been given a wonderful inheritance by those who have gone before us. I'm talking about a spiritual inheritance. I'm talking about a spiritual vineyard. It is no accident that you are here today. There's no accident that you are here tonight in this church. This church you're attending right now is a prime real estate from Jesus Christ.
It is your inheritance from the generations that have come before you, and it will be the inheritance for the generations that come after. The vineyard. I'm talking about the Lord's vineyard. When you go here down in Scripture, you understand that Ahab had seen something that he wanted. But you have to understand one thing. Naboth's profession was to work in his vineyard. Now, Naboth is translated from Hebrew, translated in the Hebrew as prophecies. That's what his name means. But his name derives from Noph, which is actually translated a sprout. So, Naboth was just another sprout in the vineyard. His responsibility was to tend to that vineyard. There was nothing else more important. He raised grapes to provide a living for himself and for his family. And he must have done a good job at maintaining his vineyard because he had caught the eyes of the king. As Ahab passed by in his chariot, he must have admired that well-tended land and luxuriant vines loaded with grapes. And he wanted it. But you see, brothers and sisters, knowing about his opportunities, his obligations, Naboth's obligations, we must also know and recognize his opportunities. What is his opportunity in Scripture? Here we understand that the king offered him something. That means it was a royal opportunity. An earthly royal opportunity, no doubt. This offer came from the king himself. Who could refuse such an offer? Would you? The king held a lot of power and had a lot of influence. It was a reasonable opportunity as well, wasn't it? He would give him anything that he wanted for it. He would also give him a what? Better vineyard. So Ahab suggested to Naboth to sell him this vineyard out of convenience. It was right next door. It was convenient for Ahab.
Not only was it a reasonable opportunity, it was a responsible opportunity. This offer would give Naboth financial security. How many of you know the appraisal and values on some of your possessions? And if someone decided to come along and pay you two or three times fold, wouldn't you take it? Wouldn't you take it? What if you bought a car for $2,000? You already put about 30,000 miles on it. Then someone comes along and says, I'll buy it for seven. Is it right to sell it? Have you ever been in that position?
I apologize. Let's see if it stays now. 1 second. Here we go. There we go.
It was a responsible opportunity.
Brothers and sisters, not only was a Naboth experiencing the pressure of this opportunity, but it was repugnant. Ahab wanted to buy the land and plow under the grapevine. He wanted to destroy everything Naboth's father had worked so hard to give him, which meant that Ahab would have completely erased Naboth's heritage. But now we have to understand, brothers and sisters, in life, when people try to present you with opportunities that may seem reasonable, that may seem responsible, we have to question ourselves, is this an opportunity that God wants us to take? Who's offering me this deal? If you remember the game show Deal or No Deal, sometimes saying deal was a way to win. And then sometimes saying no deal, you can still walk away with a win. What's in this case? Is it this case, that case? And you know what's so amazing? That's why the promise of the Father is so important. Who's going to help us? Who's going to guide us and nurture us to make these wise decisions? These obligations that we face in society where we have to decide. When someone tells you, oh, you should do this and that. Oh, everybody's doing it. You should do it too. Is that a deal breaker? Let me tell you something. When someone is telling me that everybody is doing it, it's a deal breaker for me. I'm an original. I don't like to do what people do. Don't you like to do things differently? That's what God is asking you. He's always asking you to set yourselves apart. Why do it because they're doing it? Why don't you do something different and let people follow you? Rather than that, why don't you do something different and let people follow Christ through you? Opportunities. People are always going to entice you. You see, Satan wants to entice you by you giving up your inheritance, which is eternal life, with these reasonable offers, with these repugnant offers, with these responsible offers. And you think you have to take it, but you don't. Satan wants to come in and strip you of your possession, your inheritance, which God has given you. Not only has he given it to you, he gave it to you the generations before you, and you want someone to come along and just mess that up? No way. So go down. We're able to take a look a little bit closer at Naboth's obedience. What's so crucial about this? In verse 3, and it says here, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord, what? Forbid me it. Or forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. His refusal reveals a lot about his character. You see, you have to understand, he told Ahab he couldn't have the vineyard. And why is that? Do you know that there was a law? If you go into the book of Leviticus, turn with me quickly. Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25, from verse 23 to 28. Leviticus chapter 25, from verse 23 to 28. The word of God says, the land shall what? Not be sold for what? Ever. For the land is what? Mine. for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Oh, that's powerful right there. You are strangers in the land that God has provided for you. So even when you think it's yours, you are a guest in God's vineyard. Everything you have is his. Says here, and in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If in thy brother be waxen poor, hath sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin came to redeem it, then he shall redeem that which his brother sold. See, basically, the focus of the land that God had given to the Israelites, this promised land, was not for them to sell. It would be kept in their family. If someone died, the next of kin had to come and claim it. Couldn't go to just a random nobody. Because God wants to enrich your heritage. Naboth said to the king, no. Naboth said to the king, no deal. In fact, Naboth said, God clearly states that I can't sell it to you. Now, you also have to understand who was King Ahab. King Ahab was a man that wanted what he wanted, and he would take what he take. And guess what? I'm sure Naboth did not want to give a holy inheritance to a wicked man. It didn't make no sense. So, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. How is it that we give our inheritance to someone who wants to come and steal and destroy and replace that which Christ has for you? The king had his plans for the vineyard, and Satan has his plans for God's people in his vineyard. So can't we see the pattern? Can't we see the pattern? The devil wants you to sell yourself out. Doesn't matter how much it looks like. Doesn't matter what he promises you. He wants you to give up that which most is valuable, which is your eternal inheritance, which is your eternal contract, binding agreement that Jesus came to die for you, that he wants to take you here, not just from this place, but to that place. John 17:3, I will always refer to it. And now this is eternal life, that you may know God. Brothers and sisters, I will say it again. Your inheritance continues from here to there. Eternity begins now. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, eternity doesn't begin on that resurrection morning when he comes. Eternity begins from now. Your relationship with God begins now and will continue there. Your relationship with Jesus is not going to change unless you allow the Holy Spirit to make a change. What, you think the relationship with Jesus is going to be better when he comes and you are no longer a sinner? How can he trust you then if he can't trust you now? How can he trust if you're prepared to sell yourself out, sell your land, sell your inheritance? Anyone comes along and pressures you and tells you to do this and do that, you're prepared to break your binding contract, your binding agreement established by God to you and me. That's what we get from Naboth's valuable lesson. His vineyard was his inheritance. Brothers and sisters, what's your vineyard? What's your vineyard? What is your spiritual vineyard? How many times has God told you, stay closer to him, get involved in church, read your Bible every day and you should grow, speak the way you should speak, surround yourselves with people that are God-like? See, all of these decisions have a lot to do with us selling our inheritance. I said it, devil doesn't want to just trick you. He wants you to compromise where you believe you're no longer being tricked, where you believe that you're making all the right choices. And that's why decision making, brothers and sisters, can only be done with the Holy Spirit. Any decision that we make should be done with the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Naboth was in a position where who would say no to the king? He was in a position where if the king wanted something, he could have it. But he had his integrity, he had his loyalty, his devotion to his God, but also to his inheritance. Don't sell your inheritance. It's a deal or no deal. Are we making deals with the world in order that we can strip ourselves of our value?
You know what I've realized? Another lesson about real estate. And maybe I'm wrong, Brother Langley. You tell me. Do you know that land is the world's truest form of monetary value? Do you know that it is more precious than gold, if you want to say? Do you know that land, the value of land, really never decreases? It increases. I'm not talking about recessions and all of those things. Those are for margins and for buy purposes. But land, you buy something today and you let it pass down three or four generations. What value do you believe will be on that land? You buy a land today, 20 years from now, it's going to double its value. It's going to triple its value. Okay. So you need to ask yourself, how much was this land really worth? It was worth a lot. But even though it was worth so much, and yes, Naboth could profit from it, a responsible decision, the value of the vineyard was better and more valuable kept in the family of God. Anything that you have inherited, brothers and sisters, anything that God has given you is better and more valuable when it's kept under God. God is the one who's going to put value into your life. God is the one who's going to put value into your purpose. God is the one who's going to put value into your heritage. God does not only want you to have an inheritance, He wants you to have a heritage. The best thing that we can do when we leave this earth is to say that we have allowed God to use us to help save others. Everything that I do, brothers and sisters, is just for me to put food on the table. The greatest thing I can do is teach my child about God. The best thing I could do is be a priest of my home and prepare my family for the kingdom. I can't do that for you. I'm only pointing you back to where I get my answers, and that's the Word of God. I can't hold your hand and help you make the right decisions. I may lead you wrong too. God will never lead you wrong. God wants to be in the decision-making process. This is why the obedience that we see from Naboth when he says, "No, I will not sell," shows of his desire to keep that covenant with Jesus Christ. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. Naboth could have come up or could have created a lot of excuses. You know, Brother Lane, he could have said to his family, "Oh, well, I needed to sell the land. The family needs for finances. We need the money, or someone's sick." Or he could have said, "You know, God, why not sell the land? I can use this money to give back to your people." When God tells you to do something, you follow it. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Don't compromise. The obedience that Naboth had is what allowed his inheritance to be even enriched further. This evening, I know many of us, we all have deal or no deal breakers in our lives. We all have decisions that we need to make. Many times, a lot of this has to do with our sense of worth. A lot of it has to do with whom our allegiance is to. And a lot of folks want to know, if I do this, what do I get in return? See, that's the world we live in.
What do I do? What do I get in return? Even when we sit here in church, we ask ourselves, what do we get in return? I don't want to leave here feeling the same way I came in. I want to leave out. How many of you feel like that? When you come to church, you don't want to come to church feeling the same way you felt when you came in. You want to feel better leaving out. Is that necessarily the case all the time? Let me ask you a question. What did you eat last week Tuesday for lunch? Can you remember? What did you eat a month ago for breakfast? Can you remember? See? I can't even remember the last time I had breakfast and what that meal was. The point is, it doesn't matter if you remember the meals that you have. You know that you need two, three, some folks, one meal a day, but you know you need a meal a day, and guess what? It's going to nourish you, right? When you come to church, you may not remember everything the pastor says. You may not remember all the words in the sermon. You may not even remember the title of the passage. You may not even remember the face. But guess what? You know what happens? You are nourished, and you're growing, but you can't realize it. Growing pains is a slow process. You understand? When you eat food, you don't see it, but guess what? Your body does need it. Because without it, you start to feel it. So imagine what's going to happen if you decide not to come to church. If you decide not to have a relationship with God, you soon will be feeling the reciprocation of your decisions. So don't say, oh, if I come to church, I don't feel any different. You can imagine if you don't come. I'll tell you how you'll feel. Empty. You're alone. You'll feel empty. You'll feel alone, helpless. And then we cry out, God, where are you? God ain't, he's right where you left him. He's right where you left him. Tonight, God is asking, deal or no deal? Are you prepared to fulfill your obligation by toiling the vineyard? What is your obligation? We knew what Naboth's obligation was. It was to keep that vineyard and toil that vineyard. That was his profession. What is your profession? God has called you to the vineyard for his mission. He's called you to this vineyard, the vineyard, not the world's vineyard, his vineyard in the world we live in order that we can produce fruit for that great harvest. That is your inheritance as God's chosen people, to set ourselves apart. We got Ahabs all the time coming down and telling us, oh, it looks good. Oh, how much for it? But God is asking you, brothers and sisters, to commit to him. He's asking you to remember your obligation. He's asking you, yes, be aware of your opportunity, but also know that inside these opportunities, I've got to be in the decision-making process. And third, be obedient to the will of God. If he tells you no, he says no. If he says yes, he says yes. But do God's will. Don't let anyone come around, cause you to compromise, cause you to sell, cause you to put aside your inheritance. That is the deal that God wants you to make. And he wants you to make no deal with this world. He wants you to make no deal with Satan, who wants to keep you bound to this earth. This evening, in closing, my question for you this evening is, are we at a deal or no deal intersection in our lives? We're always at a deal or no deals intersection in our lives. I woke up this morning, brothers and sisters. I was at that intersection. How many of you were at that intersection? I was at that intersection this morning when I just didn't feel like reading the word. I didn't feel like it. That's when you know you're going through spiritual warfare. No one said these campaigns are easy, you know. You know who gets hit hard the most? The preacher. I didn't feel like getting up, period, today. But then I hear God's voice saying, guess what? Open my word. And you know what I wanted to tell him? No deal. And you know, if I had done that, I would have been reciprocated my own wrath upon myself. And guess what? I did it. And in doing it, guess what? I didn't feel any different. I didn't really feel greatly inspired. But as I started to contemplate on the Word of God this morning, as I reflected on what I read, slowly it started to grow, started to bring about life inside of me. And that's what God wants to do. He wants you to commit, commit, commit. Some of us can't even keep a job. You know, some of our lack of commitment to God reflects a lot in our personal lives. We can't commit to anything. We can't commit to a spouse. We can't commit to a job, to our children. But God is asking you, if you commit to me, guess what? Everything else that you commit to is going to be easy. That's it. Don't commit to him because you know he's going to give you a reward. Just commit to him because he loves you and he wants the best for you. And that's a deal or no deal intersection that we face every day. And this evening we are facing that intersection one more. How many of you want to make a deal with Jesus to keep remain in that covenant with him? How many of you want to keep that deal with Jesus, not only to receive this inheritance he has for us, but to create a rich heritage, a spiritual heritage, in order that he can use us for a purposeful life? That is the desire he has for you this evening. And if that is what you want to say to God tonight, I want to make a deal with you, Jesus, that every day I will do my best. I will do my best to maintain that a covenant you've established with me. If that is your desire, to keep your vineyard, to hold on to your possession, if that is your desire, will you stand tonight as we pray? Dear Jesus, there's much that can be said this evening. Forgive us, O Lord, of our sins. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us, dear God, to come before your presence. And we ask that with our humble hearts, dear God, you accept this service, our hearts' petition and desires, that you come into our lives and transform it. That you be intentional about keeping the promise of the Father by giving us that helper, the comforter. Be intentional about keeping these promises. It's not easy. Satan wants us to compromise. He wants us to take advantage of what may seem as the best opportunities. But we thank you for reminding us that there's no greater opportunity than serving the Most High, than following your will and being obedient to your commands. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your heritage that you've left with us. Let us carry it. Let us pick up this cross that you've left with us and follow you, dear God. But I just ask that the Holy Spirit can continue to work upon us, feed us, nurture us. We may not see the spiritual growth overnight, but we are growing. Every day we choose to remain committed to you, every day becomes sweeter. And Heavenly Father, show us your will. Let our lives be testimonies. Let them be ever-changing. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless all families here represented. I ask that your Holy Spirit leave with them, go into their homes, allow them to say the right words to their families, instruct them and correct them and train them in righteousness, dear God. But we just thank you for your love. Thank you for saving sinners like us who are not worthy of your grace. But because it is sufficient, Heavenly Father, we just say thank you. We thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we lift up this prayer. Let everybody say, amen. Tomorrow evening, brothers and sisters, tomorrow evening is the Sabbath. Friday evening, at the end of the week, 7 o'clock. Yes, I know we're tired. We want to kick our shoes off, probably have a breather, and come on Sabbath morning. But you don't want to miss tomorrow night. You don't want to miss tomorrow night, because guess what? You few that are here on Sabbath morning, you want to be in the chair twisting and saying, it's going to make more sense to you than it will make sense to those who weren't here all week. Come out, be blessed, 7 p.m. I'll be here. God bless. Have a wonderful evening.